I was looking the other day. You ever had those nights when you just can't go to sleep? You're just kind of laying there and you know you need to get to sleep and you can't. I got up and I was just reading the Bible and I wound up in 1 Peter chapter 4. And this kind of spoke to me and I hope it speaks to you as well. This is from 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse number 12. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Behold, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality as though something strange, unusual, or alien to you in your position were befalling you." Look at that again. Let me read it first from the King James Version. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." You know, we look at life and there's all kinds of circumstances that come our way. And sometimes we do think, you know, I'm a believer. Why on earth did this come my way? How did it happen? How could this possibly happen to me as a believer? I believe in God. I believe in His Word. I've followed Him. I've been His child. How could this thing come upon me? In fact, I had a conversation not too long ago with a pastor, and we were just talking about just some of the struggles that everybody goes through. And one of the things we were talking about is, you know, the Bible does tell us that part of being in Christ is we are going to share in His suffering. I mean, there is suffering that comes, but I want you to understand something here. Suffering does come. We live in a fallen world. Suffering does come to us. Suffering is a part of walking with Jesus Christ. Suffering is a part. We share in His suffering. But here's the qualifier. Peter's telling us that when these things come, we shouldn't think that it's strange. We shouldn't say to ourselves, how did this happen? How could God allow this to happen? I've been following Him and His Word. How can this happen to me? The financial problems, the sicknesses that come. I don't know. What do you face today? What is it that you're faced with that makes you say, how could this be? How could this come to me as a believer? Peter is saying, hey, you know what, beloved? Don't think it strange. Don't think it odd. Don't think it out of the ordinary that these things would come to us. Because this is part of what this fallen world is. But here's the thing we need to understand, or here's the thing that should give us hope and encouragement. He says, don't be bewildered by those fiery ordeals that come our way, that take place. Because they take place to test your quality. Now, God doesn't bring situations to us. Struggles and suffering don't come to us that God brings them. But what God does is He will use them to test our quality. You see, we are supposed to suffer. Part of being in Christ is we share in His suffering. But that doesn't mean that we have to embrace that suffering. In fact, I would even say to you, and we'll come back to this in a few moments, but think about this. When we talk about suffering because we share the suffering, if we share in the blessings, we share the suffering also. That's what the Word tells us. But if you think that somehow you going through a trial or a circumstance and you suffering is somehow beneficial or somehow for your good or somehow God is making that happen because you're a Christian or somehow this is going to help, God's brought this because it's going to help, you know, make you a better person, while in Him it can be, God didn't bring it. It does not come from God. And if you think that your suffering somehow is beneficial, it is beneficial to you. But if you think it's somehow beneficial from God's perspective, or that God is bringing this upon you, listen, when it talks about suffering with Christ, I share in that suffering. But if I think that my suffering in any way is going to be of, well, let's put it this way. Christ suffered. I don't have to suffer. Christ suffered. And if I try to say that my suffering is imperative towards a situation, it's important for me to suffer. It's important for me to have bad things happen. There's a lot of people that look at situations and say, well, you know what? We have to embrace those bad things and walk through them because it's part of the suffering of Christ. Christ suffered, and we share in that suffering, but Christ suffered and won the victory for us. And if I think that I have to suffer somehow, if I think that I should embrace that suffering, what it's saying is, I don't think the suffering, I don't think the things that Jesus went through were enough. I don't think that it was enough. I have to add my suffering to it to somehow take it to a place of victory. That's not it at all. The suffering that Christ went through was sufficient. There is nothing that I can add to it. So when suffering comes, Peter is saying, don't be surprised when it comes. Why don't be surprised? Because we live in a fallen world and these things happen. Did God bring it to us? Absolutely not. But we live in a fallen world. Don't be surprised when it comes. God will use it to test our quality and to see where we're at. God will use it to see Where's our strength? Where's our faith? Where's our hope? Where's our vision? What are we looking at? What are we believing? Are we going to stand on the word, or are we going to embrace the suffering? Are we going to embrace the situation? Are we going to embrace the circumstances? You know, there are some people that embrace suffering. You've probably seen those people. I know I've come across a lot of people that embrace the suffering as though somehow your suffering brings glory to Jesus. The victory of Jesus that you get, that brings glory to Jesus. Christ suffered for us so we don't have to. And Christ's suffering was enough. It was sufficient. What Christ went through, the price that he paid was sufficient. There's nothing you or I can add to that. And if we say that our suffering is to that end, we devalue what Christ has done. This is why if you go on in 1 Peter a little bit further, in chapter 5, this is why it tells us that we're supposed to cast our anxieties upon him. We're not supposed to carry those things. We're not supposed to carry all those things, all the troubles. Let me read verses, chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and 9. Casting the whole of your cares, all of your anxieties and concerns, once and for all upon him, for he cares for you. But be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, vigilant, and cautious at all times, that the enemy of yours, the devil, roars around like a lion, roaring, seeking someone he could devour. So this is what Paul, this is what Peter's telling us. First of all, he said, don't be surprised when suffering comes. Don't be surprised when these things come upon us. Don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come upon us. It's part of being in the world. But is it something that we're supposed to embrace? Is it something we're supposed to accept? Is it something we're supposed to dwell in that somehow if I suffer brings glory to Jesus Christ? Listen, my suffering does not bring glory to Jesus. The victory, if I walk in his victory, that brings glory to him. And so in verse 9, when it talks about the devil coming around looking for someone that he may devour, here's the picture that we should get from that. The suffering, the problems, the trials, the fiery trials, they're not coming from God. He will use them when they come, and they will come. He will use them to strengthen us and to build our godly character, our biblically godly character. He'll use them to build us, but it didn't come from God. It comes from the enemy who is roaring around like a lion, roaring, roaming around and roaring, seeking whom he might devour. Okay, what this is saying is Satan can't just devour anyone. He can't just come upon anyone. He's seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? He's looking for the people. He's looking for people that don't stand, that will not stand on the word. He's looking for the people that are not strong in the word. He's looking for the people that are vulnerable. The illustration is, he's like a roaming lion. You just watch lions in the wildlife. You know, who are they going after? I mean, the lions, you know, they're always going after the slowest, the weakest, the oldest. They get the ones that are weak and they're vulnerable. Those are the ones that they take down first. This is the same thing that Satan is doing. He's looking for those who are weak spiritually and vulnerable spiritually. And if I say that I'm going to embrace suffering, that I'm suffering for Jesus, because the Bible says if I share in his blessing, I share in his suffering. If I share, what that's telling us is that I'm supposed to share in the suffering. In other words, I share in the victory. I share in the suffering that Jesus did on my behalf. I'm not supposed to embrace the suffering and say that my suffering, my sickness, my financial problems, my marital breakdowns, or whatever you might be going through. If I say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. I'm suffering to the glory of Jesus. Listen, that's not coming from Jesus. And he's not being glorified by your suffering. He's being glorified by the victory because he suffered so we didn't have to. And Satan is looking for that individual. He's looking for those of us that are vulnerable and weak because he's a lion seeking whom he may devour. Looking for the one that he can take off, that he can take away from the rest of the body. It's Satan who brings the trials, and we need to stand strong against him. Goes on to say right after that, but God, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After, listen to this, after we have suffered for a little while, we're not supposed to embrace the suffering. I'm suffering for Jesus. Jesus is being glorified through my sickness. Jesus is being glorified. No, he's not. He's not asking us to suffer. Peter said, Don't be surprised when suffering, when trials come. Don't be surprised when the fiery trials come. And when they come, yeah, it's going to be suffering. But then we're supposed to stand on the word. We're supposed to be strong in the word of God. We're supposed to know what the promises were and stand on those promises so that the enemy who's roaming around trying to find those who are weak and vulnerable is going to look at me and say, hey, that's somebody that knows the word. That's somebody that is strong in the word of God, in the promises. That's someone who knows who he is or she is in Jesus Christ. They're going to go looking somewhere else, because he's looking for whom he may devour. That means he can't just devour anyone. He devours the weak. And then to make it all crystal clear, Peter in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after we have suffered a little while, will make you perfect, establish you and strengthen you and settle you. That means when those trials come, yeah, it's going to be hard. Hey, life is not always going to be easy. This is a fallen world. But we have the victory in Jesus Christ. And he suffered so we don't have to. And so when those trials come, suffering might take for a moment. Suffering might be there for a while. But God is saying, and this is what we have to remember, we're not supposed to embrace the suffering. We are not supposed to continue suffering. And somehow that glorifies Jesus. After it's been a little while, in other words, something comes, I better start standing on the word. When something comes against me, listen, it's uncomfortable and I'm suffering, but I want to put it to an end right now. So after a little while, I'm going to stand on the word. And when I stand on the word, it might not be that moment. It might be. It might not be that moment, but when I speak the word, when I stand on the word, when you stand on the word, it is done in the spiritual realm, and it will very quickly come to pass then in the physical realm as well. So you might suffer. It might be uncomfortable just for a little while. But then you're going to see the God of all glory demonstrating his glory and demonstrating his victory. And what he's going to do is strengthen you, establish you, ground you securely, strengthen you, and settle you. So you don't have to be. Those are all words of victory, of overcoming. So you don't have to be suffering and overcoming. When you look at the word of God, the word of God tells us to expect that in this fallen world, trials will come. And it's going to bring suffering, but the suffering's only for a moment. If we stand on the word, if we stand on the victories, the suffering comes only for a moment. Then we see the victory. Don't embrace the trial. Don't embrace the suffering. Will God use it for your good? Absolutely. Peter said he will use it to develop our character, to see what we're made of, and then to strengthen us in that. That means he wants to see how quickly you're going to stand on the word. He wants to see how strong you're going to stand on the word in spite of what things look like. And when you do, then you get the demonstrations of his victory. As he gives you that victory, he gives you the peace. He strengthens you and he settles you. Do trials come? Yes, they do. Should we embrace them? Absolutely not. What are your trials today? Start standing on the word and making that bold proclamations. That I believe the word, I believe the promises, I am victorious. Jesus Christ has caused me to triumph over all circumstances. That's what 2 Corinthians tells us. You can stand on that word and have victory in anything you might be facing you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He causes to triumph in all circumstances through Christ Jesus. Don't accept the trial. Don't embrace it. Don't embrace the suffering. Embrace the victory. And let's put the devil in his place.